And this is Coast Community Radio. It is 2:59 here in another beautiful day. It is 58 degrees, a little breezy, a little cooler than we've been having. And for many of us, that's just fine. So I hope wherever you are, things are also beautiful and peaceful, and that perhaps you didn't stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning watching a funeral that's taking place 10,000 miles away. It is time for Arts Live and Local. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastweekend.org, wherever you are in the world. Big shout out to the Faddle family, especially Faddle and Grandma in Nova Scotia. And now check out this music, folks, and find out how you can hear it live. Thanks for being here. Oh, my goodness. They are some fun. That is Pearl Django. Indeed, Hot Club Jazz. And we're listening to Swing 24 by Michael Gray. And why are we listening? Well, I did let you know that if you're smart, lucky, and get on it, you can go and hear Pearl Django, because they are going to be in our area as part of the Water Music Festival. And to tell us all about it, is Diane Marshall, who is no stranger to KMUN at all. Diane is the Water Music Festival chair, and she's also the board vice president. She's in it. She's deep in the Water Music Festival. Oh, yeah. So welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Carol. It's just wonderful to be here, as it always is.
Oh, that's great.
Lots of fun.
I know. I love seeing you here. Yeah. So, and you're always doing something exciting. So, Water Music Festival, let's just back up right there, because even though it's the 32nd year, some people are saying, what? Water Music Festival? What is that? So, tell us.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful festival that's been going on since 1983. It started with chamber music, and in fact, in the third year, when Ann Kishner, the owner of Bridgewater,
that's right,
was the president, she said something like, many musicians have said they've never played as well or to more appreciative audiences. That's just one of the sentences in the program for that third year, 1987, I think it was. And, you know, that continues, that people love coming here to play because we're so hospitable. And the audiences love it because we bring world-class music to the Long Beach Peninsula. And, of course, want our friends from Astoria to come over and listen as well.
Absolutely. And anywhere within the listening area, whether you're across the world, because this is happening October 14th and 15th. So you still have time to fill the gas tank or book your tickets or whatever. But you will need to probably call in for a ticket or go online. What's
the best? Go online to watermusicfestival.com. That Pearl Django concert on Friday night at Innet Harbor Village in Owako, there are still tickets for that.
Okay.
And also Saturday noon, Cavatino Duo, oh my, one of the best in the world, guitar flute, at the quaint historic Oysterville Church. There are tickets for that. Unfortunately, Tian Xie, our wonderful classical pianist at Ledbetter on Saturday night, that's sold out, usually sells out about 2 weeks after. Oh, yeah.
Right. And that's and in addition to being fabulous music, the venue ain't bad either. So I think a lot of folks are eager to see what's there and feel that atmosphere. It's wonderful.
Well, the venues are very intimate. We went from the larger high school a few years ago to intimate venues that don't hold quite as many people as a large auditorium would hold. And we have beverages, you know, wine bar and some treats and everything. And so it fills up fairly quickly. And, and these two will sell out eventually.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I am partial to the Oysterville Church, I must say, as a venue.
Yes.
Anything there is just bumped up by the atmosphere, and that's all the
truly
way up the tip of the of Oysterville on the peninsula. This is all happening on the Long Beach Peninsula. If you're not from around here, that is across from Astoria, so pull out your map and have a look. Now, did Water Music Festival start as a classical festival? Is that right?
Yes, it started as a chamber music festival.
Chamber music.
And they had different events like box lunches, B-A-C-H, apostrophe S.
Right.
Some things. And there was a time when we had maybe five concerts in a weekend, which was a little bit busy for not only the organizing committee, but also for patrons running all over the place to get from concert to concert.
Right. It's nice to have a little bit of time to digest, process, and also enjoy the beautiful area, which every one of these, well, the whole peninsula is just gorgeous. I remember thinking
it is.
Yeah, going up there. So Pearl Django is from Seattle.
The Seattle area. And this, we have had them a few years ago at our outdoor Jazz and Oysters in August.
Right.
We thought it would be fun to have them in a more intimate venue where, you know, more closed in and intense. And they're bringing wonderful Soundboard's Vocalist of the Year, deliciously soulful Gail Pettis with them. And that's going to be one heck of a concert for students that like upbeat jazz like that, and
as
people
well as
that are
the
older.
Rest of us, yes, definitely.
Wonderful way to get started.
And they have been around for a while, Pearl Django. Django, of course, Django Reinhardt.
Yeah.
And they do him proud, I think, the music. As a matter of fact, on this album, I did purposely choose something by Michael Gray, because he is one of the, well, the violinist. But also there is a Django Reinhardt piece on this album, several of them, actually. So if you enjoy that kind of music, or if you just heard what I played and said, whoa, I never even knew jazz could be that much fun, because there's so many different kinds of jazz. Check this out. Again, watermusicfestival.com is the best way to find out all about the players, the performers, as well as how to get your tickets. Now, this other group that I had not heard of, Cavatina Duo, Eugenia Moliner is on the flute, and Denis Azabajic, I suspect. I'm not sure how he pronounces it in
That's
America.
That's the way I would have said
it,
too.
Because the final C there has got to be a ch. But exactly. In America, he may say ch.
From Bosnia. Originally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they have an amazing story. They're a very elegant couple. I love the way they... You got to check it out. Even if you can't make it to the concerts, check it out. Cavatina Duo. C-A-V-A-T-I-N-A. But if you're at all available on October 15th, and that's a Saturday, and this is a noon concert at the Oysterville Church, which I've already regaled with my praise, I would go to this. So
absolutely. They're touted to be one of the finest flute guitar duos in the entire world, and we're so fortunate to have them.
Yes, I agree entirely, and I will play a little bit of their music. I just wondered where and how you found them, though, because they are not at all local.
Well, there are lots of ways. Once you're on mailing lists, of course, you get all kinds of opportunities to bring in artists. But I go to the Northwest Booking Conference every couple of years and get acquainted with artists and agents.
Mm-hmm.
These people come through an agent, Lisa Sapenkoff, artist. And she provided our artist for last year at Oysterville, Paul Galbraith.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
that's
wonderful.
So yes.
she has quite a storehouse of wonderful artists. And so that's just one of the ways of recruiting and bringing in people. And people that come and perform want to come back here. Like our Saturday night artist, Qian She, was here maybe 2009 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And loved it so much, fell in love with us.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime artists can come back, they can hardly wait to get here.
Which
we're
lucky. Yeah, well, we're lucky, and everybody is lucky, and it's not luck. It's commitment and passion about the arts and about our own community. I hear the same thing from the cruise ship folks coming in.
Uh-huh.
They go, whoa, this is the best port I've ever been to. People,
really?
Yes,
wonderful.
Because
wonderful.
The volunteers greet and meet and are enthusiastic about them, and so people love being here.
They really
and,
do.
And then when they offer their extraordinary talents, as the Cavatina Duo is doing. Now, do you know what music they're going to be playing, or they haven't told you yet?
I do, yes, I do have
do.
Their program. I
okay.
just don't have it with me,
okay.
but I know some of what they do, which is on that CD,
okay.
Their own interpretation of operatic tunes, like from Traviata and La Boheme and Carmen and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some of that, and there will be some Spanish and other influences.
Yeah.
I should have brought a copy of their program with me for you to see. But
put on a little of their music so folks can get an idea. I'm having a hard time bringing them down, actually. Well, I don't want to bring them down, but this is Fantasy on Themes from Der Freischütz by Claude Paul Tafanel. And it was originally for flute and piano and arranged for flute and guitar. So the music is very full, very rich. And this particular duo is, as Diane said, one of the best from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And their histories are very interesting as well. And, you know, I'm going to let folks check that out. Or if you want to know more, you can. I was basically blown away when I read their story of who they are, where they come from, and who their families were. So you can check it out. Best of all is to come hear their music and meet them on the 15th at noon at the Oysterville Church on the Long Beach Peninsula. However, you really do need tickets. Don't just show up at the door.
That's good
you
advice.
Can if you live close by and you want to take a chance that there'll be a spot, but it's very doubtful. So check out watermusicfestival.com. Diane, how long have you been with the festival?
I joined the board in 2007 and took over chair of this particular festival a year or so later, starting with booking the artists, and now I'm chair of the whole thing. But I'll tell you, we have the most wonderful board, and everybody does their part.
Oh,
takes, you know, whether
hallelujah.
It's tickets, publicity, it is so gratifying.
It is when
we
people
have a
work together.
Folks.
Makes your job a little bit easier. So you are the chair, and you also are the booker for this.
Right.
You get to make the decisions mm-hmm. about who comes. Well, thank you so much, because you do a fabulous job.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
And the Water Music Festival, even if you can't make this, is the Water Music Festival. Check out the website, because they do offer other events that are delightful and enjoyable and support the arts and the community.
And the schools.
Oh, yeah, tell us that's right.
Well, we have
course.
Educational outreach, which our Saturday night artist will be doing the following Monday morning at the school. And we also have a young artist program. We've done this since 2009, whereby we have a young artist from the high school, or it used to be a student of Barbara Polshock's, who mm-hmm. is a musical mm-hmm. fixture on the peninsula.
Right.
Do a number or two before we start with the main part of the concert. And these kids love having the opportunity mm-hmm. to perform on Saturday night
right.
at Leadbitter. We will have Lily DuPay, and she writes her own music and sings and plays the guitar. And it's just wonderful to give these kids a chance. And because our little nonprofit has been solvent all these 32 years, we're able to give a portion of our proceeds each year to the school music department to further the kids' experiences and competitions equipment for the school. So dollars spent by our patrons, part of that goes to the school.
Right.
And
so
that's the main mission.
An amazing community event. Everybody benefits. Mm-hmm. And obviously the folks who are working to make it happen are glad to be able to do this for the community and enjoy the music as well, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Wonderful. Watermusicfestival.com. This is October 14th. In the evening is Pearl Django. And October 15th at noon is the music you're hearing now, Cavatina Duo. Saturday night is sold out, but get it on your calendar for next year. So, thank you so much for coming in, Diane.
A pleasure,
thank
Carol.
You.
Love being here.
Even more so for doing this, making this Water Music Festival happen and continue to happen year after year.
Music is a universal language, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And a real healing art. So, thanks.
Thank you.
And I have, I'm going to let them continue to play a little bit while I get my next guests in here. Thanks for being here, folks. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN, KTCB. Arts live and local. The music you've been listening to is the Cavatina Duo, and we are now going to switch over to something quite different, and that is the Maggie Kitson Band, and I'll let you know why as you listen to the music. Thanks for being here.
The word is about there's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating. The newspapers shout, a new style is growing. But they don't know if it's coming or going.
Are listening to the Maggie Kitson Band, and Maggie and Richard T. and the crew in various combinations play all over Cannon Beach, Astoria, various venues, wonderful musicians, and this Saturday night, the Astoria Events Center is the home for the blues and river R&B R&B review. A lot of R's in there. Blues and R&B review. 6:15, there's a supper. 7 o'clock concert. Richard T., Maggie K., Kitson, Barney Perrine, Tim Kelly, and they'll be having a good time. So you can check that out. And now I would like you to check out something very exciting. Now, we talked about this several months ago, actually, when Darren Orange, local artist and member of the Astoria Visual Arts Board and also the Liberty Board now, was here with Fred Stemler, whom I hadn't met before, from Recology, and I learned about this brand new program that AVA and Recology are doing together, and we talked about it. They hadn't yet chosen any artists. I'm not sure they knew exactly how it was going to work out. Well, the good news is it worked out wonderfully. And how do I know that? Because I have two amazing-looking artists sitting here smiling at me. Oh, my gosh, where is my camera when I need it? And I also have now seen the artwork that each of them has created, not in person, but images and very exciting stuff. So rather than me talking some more, let me introduce Dawn Stetzel. Hi, Dawn.
Hi.
You're going to need a little bit closer there.
Yes, hello. Yeah.
And Sean Barrow. Hi.
Hi.
Is there an S on your name? Barrow?
Just Barrow, yeah.
Barrow. Okay, you're singular. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So I've been looking at Sean's image for a while now, and I can't wait to see it in person. I have no idea how large it is. Is that going to be here, or is that from the past, your fabulous insect?
The insect was from when I was at Evergreen State College. That was my final project there.
How big was that?
It was about 8 feet from head to tail, about 10 feet tall.
Okay, 10 feet tall. Okay, yeah. So that's kind of what I felt. I felt very small looking at it. I felt like, oh, my. So was that also from recycled goods?
No, that was all just steel that I had, steel rod and tubing that I made that of.
Okay.
And it had actually some reclaimed wood on there.
And were you studying art at Evergreen?
Yeah, I was studying sustainable design and sculpture.
Is that a major? Or is that
Well, it's
course?
Evergreen, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's
I created my own.
I love it. That's what I was thinking. Evergreen, maybe. Wonderful. And had you worked with recycled or repurposed material before?
Before
Recology, this residency.
I kind of always try to whenever I can get my hands on something that will work for a project. So it's I try to, but this is the first time I've had such great access to such good recycled materials.
Yeah. Okay, and we're going to get into that because you definitely have access. How about you, Don? What's your background? And how long have you been here, Sean? Do you live
I live in Astoria for almost 2 years now.
Okay. Don, I've seen you before for sure. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been here?
About the same.
Okay. And do you have an arts background as well?
Or I do, yes.
What's that?
Well, I've always been making artwork, and I try to make artwork wherever I go. So it's really wonderful to be here making artwork about this place in Astoria.
What kind of work do you do usually?
I'm a sculptor building, right now, rather large pieces that usually have life as an object, and then they go out into the environment and navigate.
Holy cow. Sounds like a boat on the river. What are we talking about? What
exactly. I have made a boat. I did make a houseboat, and it did navigate on the Salmon River.
Wow. Mm. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Okay. You're great. So when you've done your work before, have you worked with recycled materials?
Yes. I usually salvage materials from the side of the road or along the harbor or anywhere that material tends to gather.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Well, that's good for the environment and good for the arts.
Yes.
So, okay, so now what's special right now is that you two were chosen as the first two recipients of the Astoria Visual Arts, the AVA, and Recology's residency. And what did that mean when we just mentioned the fact that you had access? So how did this work out? What does it mean? I know I tried to get hold of you, Dawn, at one point, and you said, can't come in. I'm in action. I'm right there. So tell us about where there is and what it means.
Well, we have been given permission, picking permission, to gather materials at the Astoria Transfer Station for 3 months. So we've been able to be there wearing hard hat and steel-toed boots, collecting materials from a massive mountain of material.
What did you say you were? Did you say you were wearing gloves as well?
Or? We wear gloves and hard hats. Steel-toed boots.
Wow.
And
invisible vests and
high-vis.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, just in case a truck comes to dump a load and you're in there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Good idea. And what kinds of things are you finding?
Everything.
How do you choose what to extract then? Do you have something in mind when you grab something out, or is it just, I have no idea what this is, but it looks like I might want to put it somewhere?
Yeah, kind of all of the above.
Yeah.
I tried to not have any idea of what I wanted to make, and so I just tried to let things grab me and inform something to make out of them. And it was amazing, the stuff that would draw my attention and the stuff that would call out to me. I never expected some of the weird things that I found to really be my primary material, you know.
For example?
Well, on my main piece, the mandala that I'm making, it's the main part of it are just small plastic parts bins that someone threw away.
Small plastic what?
Parts bins, like for storing screws and bolts and stuff.
Okay, now I am looking at this right now. I don't see any parts bins in here. What did you do to them to make this gorgeous mandala?
I arranged them in a pattern. There's several different sizes, and they're all modular, and they fit together. And then I was able to make this pattern out of them, and then I put high visibility paint on the bottoms of them. And so when it spins...
Oh, it spins too.
Yeah, I found a giant boat bearing there that I was able to attach it to that could probably hold thousands of pounds.
Oh my goodness. So somebody could jump on... How big is this piece?
It's 8 foot in diameter.
Could somebody jump on it? Or it's not meant to be? It would kind of break off.
You could.
They could, but they'd have to be pretty agile.
Oh, I see. Well, it's moving there. So it's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. And it almost looks like a button in the middle. But what?
It was the middle is a magnifier lens from a big old projection TV. Rear projection TV has these three RGB giant lenses in it that then project up onto the screen, and that lens is one of them. It's really beautiful.
So you're saying that all of this material was thrown out by somebody,
mm-hmm.
and they just sent it to the dump, thinking that it would be landfill.
Mm-hmm.
But they are fooled, because it ain't no landfill now. It's art, and it is beautiful. Okay, Dawn, I'm looking at this photograph. You're in it. you're sitting, and what is this? What are you sitting on or in, and does it move? It looks like it has wheels.
It does. It is a wind-assisted chair.
Wow. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm in it, riding in it.
So it has no motor.
It's wind-powered.
Right?
Yes.
And this looks like a giant umbrella?
That is an 8-foot patio umbrella that I altered to mount on a school desk that has wheels and a brake system from a walker.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I made a windsock out of a couple tents.
That were in the...
Two tents. And
what was that part of your mission, to use only material from...
Mm-hmm.
Right.
As
yes.
much as possible.
100%. 100% materials found, and also tools. Most of the tools that we both use to make our works were found at the transfer station, such as hammers and saws and all of the nuts and bolts.
When did you start, how do we say this gracefully, romping through the garbage? Is that graceful?
That's graceful.
Sure.
We did romp.
Yes, we
bounced on mattresses and...
And, yeah, trampolines and road bikes. There's just everything comes through. So
mm-hmm. it's Segway.
Been a... Yeah, oh, yeah, and a hover what was that, the
whatever that thing's called?
Yeah, a little weird,
weird contraptions. July 11th was our first day. That was our orientation day.
With whom?
We were oriented through Recology, okay. And AVA was there as well, just okay. to talk to us about the program and the parameters and safety. We were
yes.
oriented
oh,
about
yeah.
safety. And then we were shown the transfer station as well as our studio. We have a studio.
This is wonderful. So this is a 3-month residency, mm-hmm. and it is the first. It's called CORE, Coastal Oregon
Artist Residency.
Thank you. ARCOAR, Coastal Oregon Artist Residency. But that would not tell you what you're doing. So this, because this is brand new to the North Coast now. In Manzanita, you probably know. Have you been down to Cardam Recycling ever? Either?
Yes, last weekend we went down to their trashin' show and had
exactly.
a ball.
It was amazing.
Exactly. It was so
it was
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they've been doing that for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to someone about it. I didn't get there this year, but I've been and I bought stuff there too. And I still have it. It doesn't fall apart either. It's done well. And some of it, when you walk into the room, you look across, including this, for example. If this were a distant, well, even in the photo, I would think it's just a beautiful piece of work. And yours would be an adventure, Dawn, because... now, are you going to actually... let's tell folks, they're going to be able to see you in action twice, I think on October 7th, you're going to give there's going to be an artist's reception. Will your work be there? Okay, tell us where you are, where your show place is. This is a new one.
Yes, we're going to be at 1125 Marine Drive. It's in one of the parking pits across from the Sears store.
So it's outside.
Well, it's I'm going to have a piece outside, but it'll be it's an underground gallery under Imogen Gallery.
Right. Actually, I was just in that space. It's a perfect place for one of Mick Alderman's films. Because there are all these alleyways and rooms, so it's quite wonderful. I'm sure there will be signage, but if you get yourself to Marine Drive between 11th and 12th, closer to 11th, you will see it. And so there's an artist reception on the 7th, and then this will also be part of Astoria Art Walk on Saturday the 8th. And... Carol, how about flipping over the card? I was so entranced by the photographs of the artwork. It's right here, and it's called Gallery Underground. Hello. But you did very well, Sean. You 1125 Marine Drive. So the artist reception is 6 to 9. Everybody's welcome. And that's Friday the 7th, and that's a week from today. And then Saturday from 5 to 8 is an artist walk-through scheduled for 6 p.m. I'm not sure what that means. That means you'll be there and probably we'll find out.
Yeah.
There'll be additional viewings the following weekend as well. So this is Recology Western Oregon and Astoria Visual Arts. And you can check out the websites, Recology WesternOregon.com or AstoriaVisualArts with an S .org and find more. But I would say don't miss this if you're anywhere in the neighborhood. This is very exciting. And how do you think, how did it go for you?
Were you amazing.
Pleased with it?
Yeah, it was a great experience. Mm.
Are you going to be able to do more work? I guess you're... I don't know. Do they pull your dump privileges, or once you're a dumpster?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Ooh, that's it. We'd love that.
Oh, I would love.
We'll see if we can make that happen.
Yeah. Tell them I sent you. No,
okay.
That won't do a bit of good. So, because it's very exciting. But I suspect that hopefully they'll be willing to do it again with new artists.
Yes.
Now, how did you did someone solicit you, or did you read about it and say, that sounds interesting? It's called From the Pile, their exhibit, with Sean and Dawn. I don't think, did you guys know each other before?
No.
No, but I'm so happy to now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a great experience
smooth.
Together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you always both there at the same time, or sometimes for
it worked
safety
pretty well.
Or something? Yeah.
It worked pretty well. I really liked being at the transfer station with Sean, because then I could see what he got excited about for materials.
Yeah, you might open
so
your
was,
right.
Yeah,
heart
and we
to
were
some
feeling stuff. The same thing, so right. It was really wonderful to have someone there
very
as well.
Nice. Yeah.
And also a second pair of eyes too to look out for,
because
stuff will come through and it'll disappear in mere seconds.
I can't even imagine.
It gets pushed into
the pile. I thought my house was bad, but you two have just done a whole nother deal. So. Well, congratulations on having the residency, on making beautiful art from considered waste material. And folks, while you're listening to this, I hope you're thinking twice. Not that we want to deny anyone from their art materials, but if you've got stuff that you're about to turn into the garbage, check it out first, or call a friend and see what you can make out of it. You might be having your own little art exhibit there. So thank you so much, Dawn Stetzel and Sean Barrow, our first Coastal Oregon artists as part of the AVA and Recology residency. And we'll see you next week.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. And I have something for you to hear. Have a listen, and I want to wish everybody Shana Tova Umetuka Bishalom Bria, and that would be a good and sweet new year in peace and good health. You don't have to be Jewish to celebrate. We all like celebrating. This is a time of renewal, and I think we all need a little of it. I think the two artists we just heard from have been working on renewing for the last 3 months in a different way. See if you can figure something out.
Thank you. Sabbath remains united, united with the holy light. She comes attired in glory to be with the King of glory. When Sabbath is thus attired, attired in her clothes of glory, all dark, unpleasant noise, all loud and ugly clamor, depart, depart. Unpleasance leaves her presence. No power in all the worlds can disturb her Sabbath peace, and troubled souls in her will find release, will find release.
That's the sound of the shofar and Tibetan bells, Tibetan bowls, rather. And the shofar is blown. That's the ram's horn. If you want information, you can look it up or just enjoy it. And speaking of enjoying, my next guests are here because there is a very fun play coming up at the Astor Street Opry Company, Barefoot in the Park by Neil Simon, one of our old favorites. And Chrislyn Taylor is kind of she's not very old, but she is, she's been here a lot, and she is a favorite, so she can qualify for that. Hi, Chrislyn.
Hi.
And, What's your role in this?
Well, I'm not in Barefoot in the Park. I'm here supporting the director, Miss Lisa Fergus, who's next to me.
And this is very exciting because I've seen Lisa Fergus on stage many, many times, but not in Astoria at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach, which is happening right now, too, with another fun play, Don't Dress for Dinner. So, Lisa, is this your first time at Coast Community Radio, at KMUN?
No, this is my second or third.
Okay, no virgins in this room then. All right, so there. I didn't want to shock my last guests because they were new, but you guys aren't. You're well-known theater people through and through. And, of course, Chrislyn Taylor is a music person, often the music director of various productions that go on and soloist, etc. But Lisa is directing the Barefoot in the Park. And you've directed other things here before? Oh, no.
I've never directed here in Astoria.
Okay.
I've directed at the Coaster.
Well, I know you did Beauty and the Beast, and you just finished with 9 to 5. So I'm liking this. I mean, we've always done it to some extent. Like Mick Alderman is directing in the Coaster, and you're here directing. Mm-hmm. I love this mixing it all up with the theater people. How does it feel up here? Remember?
It's great.
Okay.
I am really enjoying it even more than I thought I would. It's a different family, but a family all the same, and it's nice to now have a place in both theater families.
How did you get involved with Astor Street Opry?
Marcus Brown, who is the
production committee chair.
Yes,
that's his
thank
official
you.
Title.
Yes.
invited me to submit a show for consideration for the fall.
Oh.
And it was the opportunity to do any show I wanted.
Ah.
And this has always been a favorite, so I submitted it, and it was chosen, so it was
wonderful.
Exciting.
So had you directed it before?
No, I have not. It's just been on my dream list.
Oh, great. And you didn't know who was going to show up for auditions?
Absolutely not. In fact, I only knew one person that auditioned. Everyone else was new to me.
How was that?
A little scary,
yeah.
But it's paid off.
Yeah. That is actually sounds very exciting, as long as there's good quality. And we know that Astoria is full of good quality as well as Cannon Beach. So, but you didn't because you haven't done it before.
Right.
So not only were these folks strangers to you, but you were a stranger to them.
Cause I was.
The Astor Street Opry has a cast of actors. It also has a cast of directors and stage people and everything else. So here comes Lisa from Cannon Beach, and it's been working.
Absolutely. You'll see it in a week from tonight.
Yes.
But yes, it's worked well.
It opens on the 7th of October, which is Friday, a week from tonight, as Lisa said, and it runs through the 22nd. So it's three weekends, Fridays and Saturdays at 7, and then there's one Sunday, is that right, on the 16th, right in the middle at 2 p.m. Folks, if you do matinees, well, even for the evening performances, you better write these down because everybody's got a different time. This is 2 o'clock, Coaster's 3, Performing Arts Center was 4, and you don't want to miss these things.
Oh, no, and they can also go, they can call our ticket line at 503-325-6104. All of the information that you just gave them is on the ticket line.
Good.
They can order tickets on the phone, or they can go online to our website at www.AstorStreetOperaCompany.com.
Okay.
And follow the links.
And it's got the word company in there, which is where you get the ASOC from, AstorStreetOperaCompany.com. So why is Barefoot in the Park, or are all of Neil Simon's plays favorites of yours, or this particular one, or what?
No, to be completely honest, when I was a young teenager, I had a great big crush on Robert Redford.
I still do. I still
do. So do I.
Mine is more for his politics than anything else, but he's fabulous. Go on.
Yeah, but I fell in love with this movie and then learned it was a play and then was able to see it in Portland once and just absolutely adored the stage version.
Good point. How, you don't have to go into details, but how does the play version and the movie version, so if a lot of people have probably seen the movie and they're coming to see the play, how does it...
The entire play takes place in the apartment that belongs to the newly married couple, where in the movie they travel throughout New York.
Oh, it's a lot easier in a movie, isn't it?
Much, yes.
Right, okay, well that helps. Who have you got playing the parts?
I have Alicia Settlemore, who is also a newcomer to the ASOC stage, and she plays Corey. Then I have Benjamin Van Osdell, who plays Paul. I have Neen Draghi, thank you, who plays Mother. And she's been a lot of fun because lately at ASOC, she's been playing male roles. And this time we have her in a wig and a dress. So that's been new for her. And then Jason Hippert plays the fabulous Mr. Velasco.
Okay. Can you give us just a real quick, like a two sentence on what this play is for those who haven't heard of or who may even not know who Neil Simon is, which it's hard to believe, but I know.
Absolutely. The show is about Paul and Corey, who have been married for 6 days and moved into a sixth-floor walk-up in an old brownstone. And Corey's mom comes in and complicates things, as well as Mr. Velasco, their upstairs neighbor. They had a very brief courtship, so they are quickly learning things about each other that they might not like so much. And it's a great story just about love and relationships and how we learn to get along in the world.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's in a nutshell. And are there any age restrictions on this play? What would you say is best?
I would say for the comedy, just to be able to understand it, 12 and up would probably be best. But even for younger kids, there'll be things that they catch.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
there's no language in a Neil Simon play.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's open to the public. So this, from what you've said, Lisa, it sounds as though you might we might see more of you in Astoria.
That's the plan.
I love it. That's wonderful.
We like it, too. We made her. She's now a part of the Astoria Opera Company production committee. We're not
good
letting
job.
People go.
Very good. See, that's what happens with these volunteer groups. Once you step in and people get to know you a little bit and realize you can do the job. Well, congratulations, Lisa. I can say congrats. I don't even have to say break a leg to you because you're the director, not on stage. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very exciting that you're cross-pollinating here.
Thank you.
And so, again, Barefoot in the Park by Neil Simon at the Astor Street Opry Company, which is 129 West Marine Drive.
West Bond.
Sorry. What did I say, Marine? Yes, yeah. West Bond. And it's quite a delight to go there with others, but you can go on your own because you end up sitting with other folks as well. And it's happening next weekend, starting for 3 weekends, going through the 22nd of October, and then one Sunday matinee. And again, Astor Street Opry Company. .com. Very exciting that the Astor Street Opry has its own home, and every time we go, we're helping to facilitate keeping the home and making the bathrooms.
Yes. Oh, yes, which we will be breaking ground on after the Christmas show.
Oh, my God.
Just wanted to let you know.
Thank you.
Reality
oh, this
does
is
happen.
Exciting.
Yes, well, I just also wanted to let you know that we have auditions coming up on October 9th and 10th at 6 p.m. at the Astor Street Opera Company for the 11th annual Scrooged in Astoria.
Ah, yes. Okay. Well, we'll have to get that on our calendar mm-hmm. so we can
Well, I've got a poster here that you can have.
Okay.
And
okay.
Just to remind everyone, it'll be at 6 o'clock each night and no experience is required. And just come and have some fun.
Okay.
I also wanted to let people know that on November 9th, we have the Be an Angel fundraiser,
oh,
which will
boy.
Be this year at the Fort George.
Oh, lovely. Okay. I was there last year and dropped a bucket and had a great time. Thank you so much.
You betcha.
Chrislyn Taylor and our brand new Astor Street Opry Company person, director, and member, Lisa Fergus. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And folks, there is no time left, but I do want to let you know that Bart Budwig is at the Albatross tonight at 9. Coaster, Don't Dress for Dinner. Coats and Crawdads at Rogue's Ale starting at 5. And Nehalem Bay Winery has those darn accordions. They're terrific, starting right now. And tomorrow, World Vegetarian Day, is also Trails End and all of the Gearhart galleries from 2 to 5 and the Seaside from 5 to 7. Shirley Dalston starting a painting class at Trails End next Thursday. Rivers End Grand Opening, Astoria Event Center. Don't forget that blues and R&B. And Blessing of the Animals at 5. And stay tuned. Thanks for being here. Amia Bistushane, KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook.
I'm Neil Abrams.